The Golden Bough. A Study of Magic and Religion. By Sir James George Frazer. This audiobook was produced by Klaus-Dieter Mond, Rastatt, Germany and is published under the conditions of the Gutenberg Organization. Chapter 62. The Fire Festivals of Europe. Section 4. The Beltane Fires. I and the Central Highlands of Scotland bonfires, known as the Beltane Fires, were formerly kindled with great ceremony on the 1st of May, and the traces of human sacrifices at them were particularly clear and unequivocal. The custom of lighting the bonfires lasted in various places far into the 18th century, and the descriptions of the ceremony by writers of that period present such a curious and interesting picture of ancient heathendom surviving in our own country that I will reproduce them in the words of their authors. The fullest of the descriptions is the one bequeathed to us by John Ramsay, Laird of Ochtertyre, near Groef, the patron of Burns and the friend of Sir Walter Scott. He says, "But the most considerable of the druidical festivals is that of Beltane, or May Day, which was lately observed in some parts of the Highlands with extraordinary ceremonies." Like the other public worship of the Druids, the Beltane feast seems to have been performed on hills or eminences. They thought it degrading to him whose temple is the universe, to suppose that he would dwell in any house made with hands. Their sacrifices were therefore offered in the open air, frequently upon the tops of hills, where they were presented with the grandest views of nature, and were nearest the seat of warmth and order. And, according to tradition, such was the manner of celebrating this festival in the Highlands within the last 100 years. But since the decline of superstition, it has been celebrated by the people of each hamlet on some hill or rising ground around which their cattle were pasturing. Thither the young folks repaired in the morning, and cut a trench, on the summit of which a seat of turf was formed for the company. And in the middle a pile of wood or other fuel was placed, which of old they kindled with tainagin, i.e., forced fire or neat fire. Although, for many years past, they have been contented with common fire, yet we shall now describe the process, because it will hereafter appear that recourse is still had to the tainagin upon extraordinary emergencies. The night before, all the fires in the country were carefully extinguished, and next morning the materials for exciting this sacred fire were prepared. The most primitive method seems to be that which was used in the islands of Skye, Mull, and Tiree. A well-seasoned plank of oak was procured, in the midst of which a hole was bored. A wimble of the same timber was then applied, the end of which they fitted to the hole. But in some parts of the mainland the machinery was different. They used a frame of green wood, of a square form, in the center of which was an axle tree. In some places 3 times 3 persons, in others 3 times 9, were required for turning round by turns the axle tree or wimble. If any of them had been guilty of murder, adultery, theft, or other atrocious crime, it was imagined either that the fire would not kindle, or that it would be devoid of its usual virtue. So soon as any sparks were emitted by means of the violent friction, they applied a species of agaric which grows on old birch trees, and is very combustible. This fire had the appearance of being immediately derived from heaven, and manifold were the virtues ascribed to it. They esteemed it a preservative against witchcraft, and a sovereign remedy against malignant diseases, both in the human species and in cattle. And by it the strongest poisons were supposed to have their nature changed. After kindling the bonfire with the tainagin, the company prepared their victuals. And as soon as they had finished their meal, they amused themselves a while in singing and dancing round the fire. Towards the close of the entertainment, the person who officiated as master of the feast produced a large cake baked with eggs and scalloped round the edge, called Ambonach Beltane, i.e., the Beltane cake. It was divided into a number of pieces, and distributed in great form to the company. There was one particular piece which whoever got was called Caelic Beltane, i.e., the Beltane Carline, a term of great reproach. Upon his being known, part of the company laid hold of him and made a show of putting him into the fire. But the majority interposing, he was rescued. And in some places they laid him flat on the ground, making as if they would quarter him. Afterwards, he was pelted with eggshells, and retained the odious appellation during the whole year. And while the feast was fresh in people's memory, they affected to speak of the Caelic Bealtaine as dead. In the parish of Callander, a beautiful district of western Perthshire, the Beltane custom was still in vogue towards the end of the 18th century. It has been described as follows by the parish minister of the time: upon the first day of May, which is called Beltane, or Beltane Day, all the boys in a township or hamlet meet in the moors. They cut a table in the green sod, of a round figure, by casting a trench in the ground, of such circumference as to hold the whole company. They kindle a fire, and dress a repast of eggs and milk in the consistence of a custard. They knead a cake of oatmeal, which is toasted at the embers against a stone. After the custard is eaten up, they divide the cake into so many portions, as similar as possible to one another in size and shape, as there are persons in the company. They daub one of these portions all over with charcoal, until it be perfectly black. They put all the bits of the cake into a bonnet. Every one, blindfold, draws out a portion. He who holds the bonnet, is entitled to the last bit. Whoever draws the black bit, is the devoted person who is to be sacrificed to Baal, whose favor they mean to implore, in rendering the year productive of the sustenance of man and beast. There is little doubt of these inhuman sacrifices having been once offered in this country, as well as in the East, although they now pass from the act of sacrificing, and only compel the devoted person to leap three times through the flames, with which the ceremonies of this festival are closed. Thomas Pennant, who travelled in Perthshire in the year 1769, tells us that, on the 1st of May, the herdsmen of every village hold their Beltain, a rural sacrifice. They cut a square trench on the ground, leaving the turf in the middle. On that they make a fire of wood, on which they dress a large caudle of eggs, butter, oatmeal and milk. And bring besides the ingredients of the caudle, plenty of beer and whiskey. For each of the company must contribute something. The rites begin with spilling some of the caudle on the ground, by way of libation, on that everyone takes a cake of oatmeal, upon which are raised 9 square knobs, each dedicated to some particular being, the supposed preserver of their flocks and herds, or to some particular animal, the real destroyer of them. Each person then turns his face to the fire, breaks off a knob, and flinging it over his shoulders, says, "This I give to thee, preserve thou my horses. This to thee, preserve thou my sheep." And so on. Single quote. After that, they use the same ceremony to the noxious animals: "This I give to thee, O fox. Spare thou my lambs. This to thee, O hooded crow. This to thee, O eagle." When the ceremony is over, they dine on the caudle. And after the feast is finished, what is left is hid by 2 persons departed for that purpose. But on the next Sunday they reassemble, and finish the relics of the first entertainment. Another writer of the 18th century has described the Beltane festival as it was held in the parish of Logerat in Perthshire. He says, "On the 1st of May, O.S., a festival called Beltane is annually held here. It is chiefly celebrated by the cowherds, who assemble by scores in the fields, to dress a dinner for themselves, of boiled milk and eggs. These dishes they eat with a sort of cakes baked for the occasion, and having small lumps in the form of nipples, raised all over the surface." In this last account no mention is made of bonfires, but they were probably lighted, for a contemporary writer informs us that in the parish of Kirkmichael, which adjoins the parish of Logerat on the east, the custom of lighting a fire in the fields and baking a consecrated cake on the 1st of May was not quite obsolete in his time. We may conjecture that the cake with knobs was formerly used for the purpose of determining who should be the Beltane carline, or victim doomed to the flames. A trace of this custom survived, perhaps, in the custom of baking oatmeal cakes of a special kind and rolling them downhill about noon on the 1st of May. for it was thought that the person whose cake broke as it rolled would die or be unfortunate within the year. These cakes, or bannocks as we call them in Scotland, were baked in the usual way, but they were washed over with a thin batter composed of whipped egg, milk or cream, and a little oatmeal. This custom appears to have prevailed at or near Kingussie in Invernessshire. In the northeast of Scotland, the Beltane fires were still kindled in the latter half of the 18th century. The herdsmen of several farms used to gather dry wood, kindle it, and dance three times, southways, about the burning pile. But in this region, according to a later authority, the Beltane fires were lit not on the 1st but on the 2nd of May, old style. They were called bonfires. The people believed that on that evening and night the witches were abroad and busied casting spells on cattle and stealing cow's milk. To counteract their machinations, pieces of rowan tree and woodbine, but especially of rowan tree, were placed over the doors of the cow houses, and fires were kindled by every farmer and cottar. Old thatch, straw, furze, or broom was piled in a heap and set on fire a little after sunset. While some of the bystanders kept tossing the blazing mass, others hoisted portions of it on pitchforks or poles and ran hither and thither, holding them as high as they could. Meantime the young people danced round the fire or ran through the smoke shouting, "Fire! Blaze and burn the witches! Fire! Fire! Burn the witches!" In some districts a large round cake of oat or barley meal was rolled through the ashes. When all the fuel was consumed, the people scattered the ashes far and wide, until the night grew quite dark they continued to run through them, crying, "Fire! Burn the witches!" In the Hebrides, the Beltane bannock is smaller than that made at St. Michael's, but is made in the same way. It is no longer made in use, but Father Allen remembers seeing his grandmother make one about 25 years ago. There was also a cheese made, generally on the 1st of May, which was kept to the next Beltane as a sort of charm against the bewitching of milk produce. The Beltane customs seem to have been the same as elsewhere. Every fire was put out and a large one lit on the top of the hill, and the cattle driven round it sunwards, to sill, to keep off murrain all the year. Each man would take home fire wherewith to kindle his own. In Wales also the custom of lighting Beltane fires at the beginning of May used to be observed, but the day on which they were kindled varied from the eve of May Day to the 3rd of May. The flame was sometimes elicited by the friction of two pieces of oak, as appears from the following description. The fire was done in this way. 9 men would turn their pockets inside out, and see that every piece of money and all metals were off their persons. Then the men went into the nearest woods, and collected sticks of 9 different kinds of trees. These were carried to the spot where the fire had to be built. There a circle was cut in the sod, and the sticks were set crosswise. All round the circle the people stood and watched the proceedings. One of the men would then take 2 bits of oak, and rub them together until a flame was kindled. This was applied to the sticks, and soon a large fire was made. Sometimes 2 fires were set up side by side. These fires, whether 1 or 2, were called colsearth or bonfire. Round cakes of oatmeal and brown meal were split in 4, and placed in a small flour bag, and everybody present had to pick out a portion. The last bit in the bag fell to the lot of the bag holder. Each person who chanced to pick up a piece of brown meal cake was compelled to leap 3 times over the flames, or to run thrice between the 2 fires, by which means the people thought they were sure of a plentiful harvest. Shouts and screams of those who had to face the ordeal could be heard ever so far, and those who chanced to pick the oatmeal portions sang and danced and clapped their hands in approval, as the holders of the brown bits leaped 3 times over the flames, or ran 3 times between the 2 fires. The belief of the people that by leaping thrice over the bonfires or running thrice between them they ensured a plentiful harvest is worthy of note. The mode in which this result was supposed to be brought about is indicated by another writer on Welsh folklore, according to whom it used to be held that the bonfires lighted in May or Midsummer protected the lands from sorcery, so that good crops would follow. The ashes were also considered valuable as charms. Hence it appears that the heat of the fires was thought to fertilize the fields, not directly by quickening the seeds in the ground, but indirectly by counteracting the baleful influence of witchcraft or perhaps by burning up the persons of the witches. The Beltane fires seem to have been kindled also in Ireland, for Cormac, or somebody in his name, says that Beltane, May Day, was so called from the lucky fire, single quote, or the two fires, single quote, which the Druids of Erin used to make on that day with great incantations. And cattle, he adds, used to be brought to those fires, or to be driven between them, as a safeguard against the diseases of the year. The custom of driving cattle through or between fires on May Day or the eve of May Day persisted in Ireland down to a time within living memory. The 1st of May is a great popular festival in the more Midland and southern parts of Sweden. On the eve of the festival, huge bonfires, which should be lighted by striking two flints together, blaze on all the hills and knolls. Every large hamlet has its own fire, round which the young people dance in a ring. The old folk notice whether the flames incline to the north or to the south. In the former case, the spring will be cold and backward. In the latter, it will be mild and genial. In Bohemia, on the eve of May Day, young people kindle fires on hills and eminences, at crossways, and in pastures, and dance round them. They leap over the glowing embers or even through the flames. The ceremony is called burning the witches. In some places, an effigy representing a witch used to be burnt in the bonfire. We have to remember that the eve of May Day is the notorious Walpurgis night, when the witches are everywhere speeding unseen through the air on their hellish errands. On this witching night, children in Voigtland also light bonfires on the heights and leap over them. Moreover, they wave burning brooms or toss them into the air. So far as the light of the bonfire reaches, so far will a blessing rest on the fields. The kindling of the fires on Walpurgis night is called driving away the witches. The custom of kindling fires on the eve of May Day, Walpurgis night, for the purpose of burning the witches is, or used to be, widespread in the Tyrol, Moravia, Saxony and Silesia.